Okay. So it's wonderful to be here again, to see familiar faces, most importantly my Talmidim, who came out this morning on a day off to come hear some Divrei Torah. So I'm very touched, very wonderful to see. I first want to mention, you'll see at the bottom of the page, the shiur is sponsored by Rena and David Merrillis and family, in honor of their parents Helen and Mike Shiawitz and Sarah and Kapi Merrillis. May they be zocher to continue with strength in their pursuit of Torah, chesed, and mitzvos. So the last time I was here, we discussed a more hashkafic, more philosophical topic in West Hempstead, the last yeshiva on the road. So the topic today is a halachic topic. And this topic is, I think, probably the most important shaila of our generation. Why? So Jews have always been involved in business, right? That's always been one of the mainstays of the Jewish community. But how did business used to work in the old days? Basically in the same way. You produced a product. You sold a product from a store, and people came to the store, or they ordered it from the store, and you gave it to them. And a frum Jew closed their store on Shabbos. And then Sunday or Monday, whatever it is, they'd come in and they'd open again for business. And that's because a Jew is not allowed to do business on Shabbos. So today, the world has changed. And what happens in the world today? So today, things are not sold in stores anymore, right? I remember when I was growing up, I was telling the kids recently that Borders and Barnes and Nobles were like the store you saw everywhere. They're nowhere anymore. So what happened? Now everything is online. And not just big conglomerates online, but people have stores online. If you go on Amazon.com, so a lot of the things that are sold are not sold by Amazon, but by third-party vendors who have a digital store and they sell certain products. And it happens to be that the biggest third-party vendors on Amazon.com are all from Jews. All from Jews. In fact, there's a WhatsApp group of from Amazon.com vendors, has over 2,000 members. I have a friend of mine who does this who told me he was at the toy fair in the Javits Center where all these guys go to look at toys from China and all these places that they're going to sell online. He said the majority of the people there were from at this place. Like another interesting vignette. So I have another friend of mine who worked for a very well-known politician in Brooklyn. And when in their office, they interacted a lot with the community. So he said one time he went for a certain thing to the 10 o'clock Shachris in Satmar of Borough Park, which is one of the biggest minyanim in the entire community. It's pretty early. So he said at the end of the minyan, a guy clapped on the bima and said, "Amazon is now open." Right, so this is like the shaila of our generation. So what I want to do is I want to take it from the beginning. We're going to talk about where in the Gemara we can find something to do with this, and then we're going to see how the poskim throughout the generation dealt with this question. So we'll get to a little Gemara, a little halacha, a little history, and then in the end, we'll show a few approaches. You have many rabbis here to ask halacha lemaisa what should be done, but I'm going to show you a few of the different approaches that the poskim have to this question. So let me ask you a question. What's the possible issue with having sales online that happen on Shabbos? Meaning when someone buys something during the week online from your Amazon shop or your eBay account. So whatever, it's like they bought in a store. What's the issue if someone will go on Saturday and they'll see your Lego set that you're selling and buy it on Saturday? What's the possible problem? What do you think? What's the possible problem that halach is? Huh? Schar Shabbos. You're making money on Shabbos. Okay? Yeah? You're benefiting from a non-Jew. How are you benefiting? You're making profit off of his action. Meaning, meaning you're making money on a business transaction on Shabbos that he's doing. Yeah.
Could be a Jew.
And then you say, so how is that different?
Well, because then you're causing a Jew to violate.
You're enabling a Jew to violate Shabbos. Okay. So I'm going to show you, there is a world famous comment of Rabbi Akiva Eger that this whole thing is based on. And in fact, I saw Rabbi Kellerman this week, and he asked me what the shir is on, so I said, and he said, "Oh, the Rabbi Akiva Eger." That's Rabbi Kellerman. So this Rabbi Akiva Eger is based on a topic that is totally unrelated, seemingly, to online sales. And it's the following. So, who's the main star on Yom Kippur at the Beis HaMikdash? The Kohen Gadol, right? So there's all these qualifications the Kohen Gadol has to have on Yom Kippur. And what's one of the qualifications? Is he allowed to be single? He has to be married. He has to be married. So the Gemara and the Mishnah have all these conniptions. What happens if, God forbid, he loses his wife on Yom Kippur? And then he can't do the avoda, and the whole Jewish people are messed over. So the Gemara tells us, look in source 1, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af isha acheres maskinin lo. We give him, we have him marry a second wife for Yom Kippur. But then the Gemara raises an issue. Im kein havalei shnei batim. What does that mean then? He's going to have two wives now. V'rachmana amar, the Torah says, v'chiper ba'ado u'ba'ad beso. He must atone for himself, for the Jewish people, and ba'ad beso, for his house. What does house mean? His wife. V'lo ba'ad shnei batim. It doesn't say two houses. It says one house, meaning that seemingly he's only allowed to have one wife. So the Gemara says, what do we do? So the Gemara goes on to go through a whole thing. We need him to have a second wife, but he's not allowed to have a second wife. But what are we going to do if Yom Kippur? Yeah.
Why can't you just have sex women as backup, so to speak?
Oh, so can you get married on Yom Kippur? No. That's why. You're not allowed to get married on Shabbos. Not allowed to get married on Yom Tov. That's the problem, right? So what do you do? Right? What are you supposed to do? So the Gemara tells us something fascinating, a wild thing. Look in the second source. This is what we do. He marries the second wife on Erev Yom Kippur, marries her. L'chad Amar, and to that woman he says, Hareze Giteich, he gives her a get to divorce her right after marrying her, Al Menas Shelotamus Chaverteich, on condition that the other wife does not die. What does that do? Wild, right? What does that do? Right. Meaning, he's divorced from the second wife now, so he only has one wife. And then, if on Yom Kippur, the other wife dies, the get becomes invalidated because it was given on condition she doesn't die. So once she dies, it's invalidated, and now he has a second wife. He has that now, and now he has one wife on Yom Kippur. So either way, he'll have one wife when Yom Kippur begins, and if anything happens, he'll have one wife anyways. Right? That's what the Gemara says. Yeah. So no, he got divorced before, right? What happened? He gave her the get, he got married, and then a minute later gives her a get.
Right.
And he says, we're divorced, but the divorce is based on condition that my other wife, my first wife, does not pass away.
That's an interesting condition.
Right? That's fascinating. The Gemara goes on and on and on and on to try to figure out what's the best condition. And what does that mean? Now they're divorced. If she passes away in Yom Kippur, suddenly the get is invalidated and they're married. Right? Yeah, yes, Mahmoud. Huh? He doesn't, because he had two wives for like 5 minutes on Erev Yom Kippur, and then he divorced the second wife on Erev Yom Kippur. She'll only be married to him again if the first wife dies, because it's given on condition that if the first wife dies, then the get is no good anymore, and they're married again. For 5 minutes, yeah, but that was on Erev Yom Kippur. That was before Yom Kippur began. The problem with having the two wives is only on Yom Kippur. Right? Yes. No, for that period in between, she's Megoresh, she's a Grusha. She's divorced.
No, but retroactively.
So you're saying, what happens? You're saying if it would be she passes away, and then what is she retroactive? It's a phenomenal question. So this is a whole discussion in and of itself. It's a phenomenal question. Yes. If it would be, what does the Gemara say, Eitan? You remember that? Then retroactively.
In that in between time, she would get remarried. And
I think we'd
child,
assume it's
her first wife would die.
Yeah, then we migresh. It's the child would be a suffix.
The child would be a mom. I think
it would be a real momser or suffix momser.
It would be a father momser.
Okay,
so
right. So
retroactively,
she was never divorced. Yeah. So this that's why we wouldn't recommend doing this usually. It's only in this. Right? It's only in this situation, right?
Don't
so
try this at home.
No, do not try this at home. So how does this help us for Amazon shops? How does this help us for Amazon? So let me ask you a question. If they came to you and they asked you this, so like we have this issue, he needs to make sure he has a wife on Yom Kippur. What's the best way to do this? What would you suggest? So you can't get married on Yom Kippur. So what's another way that's much easier than this? What's another way that's much, much easier than this?
Have the condition.
Get married on condition. Meaning, go to her on Erev Yom Kippur and say, I can't be married to you because I'm only allowed to have one wife. You are hereby betrothed to me, Hareat Mikudesh Esli, on condition on condition that my first wife dies. Why get married, get divorced, so that you can be married again? This is the question, Rabbi Kiva Eger. Just say, you are hereby betrothed to me. I'm hereby marrying you on condition that my first wife dies.
So if she dies, it's as though the marriage never took place.
No, if she dies, then they're married. When he says on Erev Yom Kippur, you are hereby betrothed to me on condition that the first wife dies, that means they're not married now because she's alive, right? Once she'll die, then suddenly they're married. So what will that do? That'll mean on Yom Kippur, what'll happen? If anything happens to her, they're married.
But you can't get married on Yom Kippur.
Huh?
You can't get married on Yom Kippur.
But he's not married. Oh, okay.
What did the Kenyan
do? So that, okay, very good. Kedushin, marriage, is a Kenyan, is an acquisition. When is it taking place? If you would ask me in that case, when are you doing the act of acquisition, of giving the ring?
Before
Yontif. It's just coming into effect on Yontif, right? It's like rolling a bowling ball, right? So you rolled it 10 minutes ago. It hit something 10 minutes later, but the act took place now, right? So Rabbi Akiva Eger is going to say, you see from the fact that the Gemara did not suggest doing that, that not only may you not do an actual acquisition on Shabbos and Yontif, you can't even have one happen without your involvement. From the fact that the Gemara did not suggest creating an acquisition before Shabbos and Yontif that will come into effect on Shabbos and Yontif without your involvement at all, you see that you're not even allowed to have that happen. How does that relate to Amazon shops?
Because you're doing no act on Shabbos, but you
on Shabbos and Yontif, what happened? On Wednesday, you uploaded the ad on Amazon that you're selling the Lego set. And then on Shabbos, someone comes along, and they buy it. You had no involvement. You didn't ask them to buy it then. You didn't do anything. You're sitting at home at your Shabbos table. Someone went on your account, put in the credit card number, and did it, right? So you're having an acquisition without your involvement conclude on Shabbos and Yontif.
Would the same reasoning bar you from using the Shabbos clock?
Would the same reasoning bar you from using a Shabbos clock? Not exactly, because there is not a business transaction. That's an actual action of doing a malacha. So it's a little bit different. But not everyone's in favor of Shabbos clocks for similar reasons, but not exactly. So look at Rabbi Akiva Eger. It's in the second, in the third source, in the second line after the period. V'lich ora kasha, this is very difficult. D'lama lo lame abed kule hai lakadesh ulagarish. Why does the Gemara go through this whole conniption? He should marry the second wife, then divorce her. Ulakadesh acheres b'tanai. And then, to do, right? Why does he do all that? Ha'efshar b'lo shvus. You can very easily say, without violating halacha seemingly, that they should get married on condition that if she dies, then they're married, and then everything is solved. There's no need to get married and divorced on Erev Yom Kippur. Just get married on condition. And then you'll be able to say, okay, it'll happen if anything happens, and there's no need to do all this. Ela al korchach, what do we see? Delo marvichem bazeh. We don't gain anything through this. To have a gam kein kona kinyan b'shabbos. Because this too, having an acquisition happen without your involvement that benefits you on Shabbos and Yontif is forbidden. Right? So this is a very famous counter of Akiva Eger. That even not to do an acquisition. The old ways in business, you went, someone gave you the money, and you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. They come to your store, they give you the money, they buy it, and then you give them the toy or whatever it is, and that's an acquisition. It's not allowed on Shabbos. But Rabbi Akiva Eger says not only that, even just to be sitting at home and to have an acquisition happen without your involvement, you don't even know about that it's happening, right? But just having it occur because you set up something that could result in that is forbidden too. So some people want to say, based off of this, Rabbi Akiva Eger, is it permitted to sell on Amazon if it's going to make money on Shabbos and Yontif? According to Rabbi Akiva Eger, seemingly not, right? Because an acquisition is happening, even that's benefiting you on Shabbos and Yontif. You're making money on Shabbos and Yontif, even though you're not involved at all.
What about investments?
So the stock market is closed on Shabbos. What?
What?
What happened? What did you say? What about on Yontif? So I will tell you something. So based on this Rabbi Akiva Eger, you may be 100% correct. But again, stock going up and down is not a gain. Let's say you have an option, right? Let's say you have an option, or you telling your broker already is much worse. Let's say you have an option set in to sell at a certain price point, right? That's the Ricky Vager, exactly. And Rav Moshe Feinstein points that out in his Tshuvas, that selling, having an option to sell at a price point. I have a man on my shul that in 2000, when did the stock market crash? 2008. So he felt, he's like a genius. He's been investing for, I don't know, 50, 60 years. He said, the S&P 500 is too high. Can't stay this way. So he placed puts in the S&P 500 to drop a lot, right? So what happened? He has a rule. He does not keep any options open over Yontif. Because he says, I don't want to make money on Yontif. Because what will happen, if it will reach that price point on Yontif, it will automatically sell and it will make money on Yontif. See, that's his rule. So what did he do? Before Sukkos, he took off the puts. When did the market start to crash? Second day Sukkos. He told me I would have made $5 million on the second day of Sukkos. Yeah. He told me. And you know what he said? That's what it means to be a Shomer Shabbos. He told me. This is the truth, right? So he learned by Rav Moshe Feinstein. That's part of the reason that he does that, right? So you're 100% right. This Rabbi Kivyeger would apply to an option price point also, sale, on over Yontif. Yes. Be the same question. So there are many poskim that assume it's not appropriate because of this halacha that the kinyan's happening on Shabbos. Let me ask you a question. How is this, can you point out any difference between an online sale and this case of Rabbi Kivyeger? Yeah.
Because the case of
Rabbi
Kivyeger is specifically on
Yom
Kippur.
Oh.
Okay,
very good.
The other case is investment or eBay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like having somebody fix your car. Your car is, you know,
phenomenal point.
You leave the car on Wednesday, the mechanic says it'll take a week, 10 days, something okay. like that. So if he works on Shabbos, you're not asking for it specifically on Shabbos.
So this is a reader saying, making a phenomenal point. What's the case of Ricky Vager? The Kohen Gadol wants the acquisition to take place when? On Yom Kippur, on Yontif. When someone places an ad, places a product on Amazon, they don't care if the person buys it on Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Someone buys it on Saturday, that's fine, but they don't mean it necessarily to happen then. So let me ask you a question. We're going to see this point made. What is a previous invention of business that is exactly like an online sale? Long before there ever were computers. It was invented about 100 or so years ago.
A vending machine.
What's a vending machine? You put a vending machine in Yankee Stadium, right? And you own the vending machine, a Frum Jew, and you place all the items in it. When the person puts in money, that's an acquisition. That happens now. Let's say you leave it there over Shabbos. How much money, you can imagine how much you're making at a Saturday game? Right? You know, especially these like hot vending machines. I know there was the one in Fenway Park was owned by a Frum Jew, I know for sure. So you're making all this money. So when these were invented, obviously who were the first people in the business? Jews. Right? So the Achronim already addressed this question. And there's a very famous tshuva, and that's the fourth source of tshuva, the source of the Maharshag. So Maharshag was Rav Shimon Grunfeld. He was a very famous Hungarian posek. In the Hungarian community, he's in the, of halacha, he's world famous. The poskim all quote him. He was a very, very famous posek. He passed away, I think, in 1930. So the Maharshag was one of the first people to be asked this question. Look who he writes. Al davar sheila secha. With regards to your question, bekli hanikra, what does that word say? The item that's called automat. The automatic, right? Sheniskhadi shvitim halalu. That has newly been invented. You leave it outside in public. And you put inside it, what does that say? Tzikerlach. Sugar candies, right? What's the next word? Chocolate. Chocolate, right? My grandfather's Hungarian. No, he said chocolate. You put in a coin. Then you open up like a little closet thing, and you take whatever you bought for your item, right? It's a fascinating invention. What's the question? Since it's outside on Shabbos, anashim akum non-Jews will come. O Yisrael de lo ma'ale, or non-observant Jews, v'yikchu at sikr lacho at chokolad, v'yashlichu sham matbea gam b'Shabbos. And they're going to pay for the item on Shabbos. Im ein kan le Yisrael, ba'ala atamat hanal, iser shel masa umatim b'Shabbos. Is this a problem of doing business on Shabbos? Ad kan tochel and she'laso alach l'maisa. This was your question. Ki la'avicha yeshino kli hanal. Because your father has this, has one of these, whoever's asking the question, his father had one of these vending machines, and he wanted to know. So the Marashag addresses this from what perspective? The Rebbe Kivager. Seemingly, according to Rebbe Kivager, this should be problematic. A kinyan's happening on Shabbos, an acquisition's happening on Shabbos, even though you're not involved. But he says exactly what Mr. Weider said. He says, no, what's the difference? It's a big difference. When you place the item in the vending machine, you're not saying, I want the acquisition to happen on Shabbos. You just want all your stuff bought. In Rebbe Kivager's case, what was the problem? The person started the process of the acquisition, the Kohen, and he wanted it to go into effect specifically on Yom Tov. So the Marashag says, even Rebbe Akiva Eger would say this is not a problem. Look how he writes. If you look, you can look in the in the third paragraph of it, the last one on the page. In the very middle of the paragraph, there's a period, Aval. Aval benidon didan, in our case, when the Jew puts the candies and everything into this vending machine, he doesn't want it dafka to happen on Shabbos. He doesn't even know if the Don Jew is going to come to buy on Shabbos or during the week from the vending machine. Certainly, the person can put, this Jew can put whatever he wants in this machine. And the non-Jew can come and buy whenever he wants. And therefore, even according to Rebbe Akiva Eger, this is totally permitted. So you're saying it's better or worse?
I think the candy thing would actually be the harder case.
Would it be worse, right?
Once sale happens on Shabbos, it definitely made money on Shabbos.
Oh, right.
This other thing, like you were showing with the gift, there's a lot of ways to put phrases in or something to pull it back.
In an online sale.
Yeah.
And not only that, what happens in an online sale when you put in a credit card number? Does the vendor get the cash right when the credit card number is put in? No. Right. Right. So before we even get there, you see by the vending machines, even by vending machines, and this was the opinion of most postkim, even by vending machines, they were makil, because you were not looking to get it on Shabbos. And even according to Rebbe, since you're not doing anything, even according to Rebbe Kivager, it's not a problem. So according to this, certainly Amazon shops are fine, right? And some want to say the Amazon shop is even better. And so the point you just made. So if you look at the next page, look at this, the fifth source. So Rav Chaim Oberlander writes, I think he's from Muncie. He's the Or Yisrael guy. He writes for the Or Yisrael Journal, which is like, the Or Yisrael Journal is like, what's like the biggest business journal? The Harvard Business Review? That's a big one, right? So that's like the Harvard Business Review of Halacha. It's like the best journal that there is on Halacha. So he writes a tremendous amount about different business Halacha questions. So he makes this point. Look what he writes. Masha ain't giving mechira al yedei machshev. When it comes to sale over a computer, halo ain't a Yisrael kona shemos b'Shabbos. Unlike the vending machine, the Jew is not even getting money on Shabbos. And also, the non-Jew is not buying actually anything on Shabbos. Shahari mahalech hamischar al yedei machshev. When it comes to buying over the internet, haynu shahanachri mazmin eza chifetz shurotz aliknos me Yisrael beemtzos hamachshev. What happens? The non-Jew finds an item they want online, and they order what it is that they would want through the computer. V'hanachri machnis b'machshev hamisparim shel hakartis ashrei shelo. And then the non-Jew puts in his credit card number into the computer. V'az mevar hamachshev me'abank shel hakartis hakone e'em hakartis u'beseder v'sheyesh lemos. Then they clarify with the bank that is of this credit card if there is credit and if they're able to buy this. V'aydezeh mekabel hanikra, authorization. Right? Then they get an authorization. What does that mean? That the bank approves this person is able to make this purchase. And then, at that point, when they get the authorization, the seller can actually legally go to the bank and say, you gave an authorization, you owe me the money. Puts a hold, right? And they put a hold on the card. If you look at your bank statement, or you look at credit card statement after you make a purchase, so there's just a hold. It's not initially an actual purchase. Right? According to the amount that it was purchased. At this point, even at this point, it can still be canceled because no actual cash has changed hands, meaning the seller can cancel, or the buyer can still cancel. And that's why sometimes you'll buy something on Amazon, it'll put in your credit card, and then you'll get a thing from the vendor saying, like, oh, we ran out, or we actually don't have this, whatever it is. And that's legal, because nothing actually changed hands. So some posts can want to say, the vending, like you exactly like you said, the vending machine is even less of a, is even more of a problem. Because the vending machine, you're actually getting hard cash on Yontif. on an online sale, legally, there's not really an acquisition happening. This also would be a very important point for buying chametz online on Pesach. It's another big question. I've gotten this twice so far. Can you buy a chametz item on Chol HaMoed Pesach online? Right? So maybe it's dependent on this also. Are you actually buying it when you put in your credit card number, or is it only yours once it's shipped or once it gets to you? Right? Yeah.
This would address the issue of you doing business on Shabbos. Mm-hmm. The issue of causing a Jew on mm-hmm. Shabbos, by that, because I remember once a rabbi went to Jewish organizations in New York, I read this, and told them, don't mail out on Friday. Don't do mail out on Friday. Why? Not because he was concerned that Jews would get the mail on Shabbos and open it, but because he was concerned that the Jewish workers in the mail room would be handling mail on Shabbos and then violated Shabbos.
So the question is a religious Jew responsible? A religious Jew cannot tell a non-religious Jew, go do malacha for me on Shabbos. Is a religious Jew responsible not to create a situation where a non-observant Jew could possibly violate Shabbos? So probably they're not responsible for that. This question came up in, I think, 1981 it was, when ATMs came out in Israel. And the question was, is it a halachic problem for a Jewish, for a religious-owned bank to leave an ATM open on Shabbos and Yom Tov? Right? Because everyone's going to come to get money out. So Rav Yashiv Paskin, at that point, it's absolutely fine. Rav Gorin, everyone remember Rav Gorin? Rav Gorin was the chief officer. Rav Gorin was against it. Not even if Rav Gorin just felt Shabbos should be Shabbos in Israel. It's like not nice. But Rav Yashiv felt it was fine because you're just creating a situation. You're not telling him to do it. Yeah.
Also, there might be a difference, meaning in America, the majority of people mm-hmm. in America are
right.
not Jewish.
Right, so America's even less. Less. Right. But even in Israel. Right. Let's say a guy has an online store in Israel. Maybe even in Israel it's not a problem. Yeah. Right? Yeah, in America, or Ehrenfeld, 100%, in America, the majority of people are non-Jews that are shopping online. So do you have to be concerned about a minority? But yeah, probably that would not necessarily be an issue to do. Oh. So that's it. So many posts can assume, because of all these reasons, that there's no problem selling on Shabbos and Yom Tov online, and that's why there are many from Jews that do it. And I was just actually with Rabbi Galler in Williamsburg this past Chol HaMoed Sukkos. And we go around to certain poskim there with our Rebbe, Rabbi Simon. So we spoke to Rav Chaim Kalman Gutman, who's a very big posik among the Satmar Hasidim, who all sell on Amazon. It's like, you know, it's like everyone sells on Amazon there. So he knew, when we asked him, he first of all knew exactly how Amazon works, how much commission they get for everything. And he said it's 100% fine. He thought it was 100% fine to have it open because of all these reasons. So there are other poskim. So everyone agrees halachically, you can't really make a case it's a problem. So what's the other issue they have to think about with this, though? What's the other issue?
Marasayin.
Well, so Marasayin, or what we call a meta-halachic issue. Is it right for a Jew to make tremendous amounts of money on Shabbos and Yom Tov? Right? That's not a halachic question. That's a super halachic question. This is more of a philosophical question, but that matters in halacha. So again, some poskim, very few poskim, assume it's not okay because of Rabbi Kivager. Most assume it's fine because of all the reasons we've discussed. But then there's a third approach. So I have a guy in my shul who had like a tchotchke business. And then he wanted to retire, so he sold it. He sold it to these three Satmar Chassidim. So they bought it. And what did they do? He didn't know. He's like, why do they want my business so much? It's like, it's a dinosaur. So what did they do with it? They made it into an Amazon vendor, right? And he told me they make now $100,000 more a month than he ever did, right, from making it into an Amazon vendor. So he told me one time he was in the office. He went back to the office with them, and he it was after a three-day untif. And he comes to me and says, I came back after a three-day untif. There were $90,000 in orders, right? $90,000 in orders from the three-day untif that they had to fill. So he said to me, I grew up my whole life. You're not allowed to make money on Shabbos and Yontif. So like, how is this okay? So I want to show you a very fascinating tshuva. This tshuva was not about anything to do with internet sales. This tshuva had to do with the answering machine. This is a tshuva from Rav Yaakov Breish, Chelkas Yaakov. He was the Rav in Zurich. He was a very fascinating person. He was born into a Belzer family in Poland. He became a Rav in Germany, and then a few weeks before the war, he got the job as the Rav of Zurich, Switzerland, which ended up saving his life. And he was in Zurich then for 40 years, for the rest of his life. He was a very famous posek. So he wrote this in the 1960s. When they came with the answering machine, a guy came to him, and he asked him the following question. He wanted to know, can I leave this incredible thing, the answering machine, open on Shabbos? And what'll happen? I'm not going to lose business now. I'm going to leave a message. And the message is going to say, if you have an order, leave it as a message, and it will be filled after Shabbos. And he came up with this idea. So he asked everybody, look what he says. She'elascha b'nogei l'Shabbos v'yontav nachon hisagti v'hinin l'ashivcha. I'm going to answer you. V'zeh tochen ha'shel. This is the question. B'harbi misradim, in many offices, nisader ke'es mechona etzel ha'telephone, she'matarasa she'b'me'echad metalfein. He didn't know the modern Hebrew word for calling. V'einish b'misrad, when someone calls and there's no one in the office, al yidei ha'technik shel ha'tanband. Through the answering machine, nishma kol she'einish b'misrad. There's a voice that comes up and says there's no one here. And they can leave a message. When the owner of the office will come back, he can listen to the message. You can now finish business deals through this creation. What's the question? Can you set it that it can then go off on Shabbos and Yom Tov? Ula Acher Shabbos, Yuchal Baal Hamisrad Lishmoa Me'amachona Masha Nidbar L'Sham. Then you can listen to all the orders that were made on Shabbos. Uchamuvan Shekame Yonay Mischar Yisvad Al Yizeh, and you're going to be able to make tremendous amounts from this creation. So says the Chelkas Yaakov, L'chore zedoma lahalin o'ahagin lahari chashmal me'erev Shabbos b'chdei lahadlik v'lachabos b'Shabbos. Says this is similar to a timer on a light on Erev Shabbos that we use. V'imi shem chashash mekach ha'nigmar b'Shabbos. And if you're going to say, oh, you're making a business acquisition on Shabbos, gam kein kvar harachti b'tshuva, I've already said, le'inyan atamat. With regards to the automat, the vending machine, ha'asi limkor schor lahatir liyisrael anichol asos pulaso gam b'Shabbos, that it's allowed to be used even on Shabbos. Ve'ein bazem mishum chashash ha'nigmar b'Shabbos, and we know that that is not a halachic problem. So seemingly, this answering machine shouldn't be a problem at all either. So says the Chelkas Yaakov, achin zerak b'hashkafa rishona. This is only on first glance. However, Al zeh ne'emar, with regards to this we say, chachamim, rabbis, hisharu b'divreichem, be careful with your words. Bizman shahatechnik tzoid kach tzadim kadim, this is in the 1960s, in this time when technology is so advancing, v'yuchal hiyos b'yamim hakrovim, it will be possible soon, l'sader chanus gedola, that you'll be able to make a big store, al yidei otamat v'tanband, through a vending machine and an answering machine, shachanus tipatech me'eleh l'shaha nidrash, that the store will open on its own. V'hakonim yavo l'sham, and people will be able to come there. Af kishein shem ish b'sham, and no one will even have to be there. Rak al yidei siyui ha'technik shel ha'otamat v'sharim tzayim, through the vending type machine and through all the different technology, it'll be able to be done. Chadomu chadomi istadra kol b'sham. And everything in the business will be taken care of on its own. Tischalik haschor la'akonim tmuras hamoshim nosim b'sham. You'll be able to send all your products through money given to you, and you won't even be there. What does that sound like? The internet. Isn't that amazing? He thought of this.
There are stores today that are doing this.
He's doing this too, right? The actual brick and mortar stores, right?
Yeah.
Right.
No one's there.
Right. V'im nizalzel b'kedusha Shabbos ba'aterim shel ha'technik mishum shakol nasa mi'atzmo. If we're going to say that just because something is done on its own through technology, it's okay. Yutzmach mizeh chilul Shabbos gadol. Tremendous chilul Shabbos result. She'adam b'shivto b'beis ha'medrash. Imagine, he says, a person will be sitting, learning in the beis medrash. O al shulchano shel su'uda Shabbos. Or sitting at their Shabbos meal. Umenagin zmirus l'chavet Shabbos. And they'll be singing zmirus with their family. V'isko o misrado oved b'shabbos avuruk b'mosachol. And their business will be operating and making the money as if it was a Wednesday. If we allow such a thing to happen, even though it's mutter, it's fully allowed as we showed halachically. It will come out that Shabbos will no longer be Shabbos. Stop yourself from going in this direction. So the Chalkas Yaakov makes a fascinating point. He says, halachically, it's totally allowed. But he says, how can it be that a Jew is going to make so much money on Shabbos? This is a third approach. Who takes this approach? B&H Photo and Video. B&H Photo and Video makes tremendous amounts of money on their website. You cannot place an order on Friday after sundown through Saturday. You can put it in your cart, but you can't do the acquisition of putting in the credit card. Why? He doesn't want to make Shabbos money on Shabbos and Yontif. This is exactly. And who says this in our generation? If you look in the next page, you're not going to read through the whole thing. Rabbi Chezkel Roth is one of the great poskim in the Hasidic world. He's like considered in the Hasidic world like a Rav Moshe Feinstein. He's a very, very big poskim. Still alive today. He's in his 90s. So he was asked this question from all of these guys in the business. So he goes through a whole tshuva and he says, halachically it's fine, and it's like the vending machine and everything. But then he says in the last paragraph, acheinim kol zeh, with regards to this, ein anim mizdakik lahatir davar zeh sheyaseh kein b'shabbos. I don't feel comfortable allowing this on Shabbos. Do mikol makom yesh bazel zilzo lahamocher ba'atzmo sheyif al mischara b'shabbos. How can a Jew have their business open for them on Shabbos? U'b'Shabbos tzarich liros kilu kol malachto asuya. On Shabbos you have to feel, I'm not in business now, it's all finished for me, the week is done, right? It's a beferish song, throw away your hammer, right? It's you're not allowed to feel you have to do business on Shabbos. V'gam yadua li she'ein ruach chacham nochi imenu. There's not something people that Rabbanim should feel good about. L'achein ein ani mizdakek l'hatir klal l'chal. He says, even though I think it's mutter, I'm not willing to say that it should be done. So these are the three approaches. On the one hand, we have one approach to say it's halachically forbidden. Another approach, we say it's totally fine, and people allow it to be done. Then there's this interesting third approach, that maybe we should also consider the possible consequences of having Jews make so much money and really have their businesses open on Shabbos and Yantif. So, like in all other areas, you have to ask your local Orthodox rabbi what the proper thing is, but this is going to be, in this coming generation, obviously, like the big discussion. So this is the whole story with internet sales on Shabbos and Yom Tov. I wish everyone a wonderful day.